Continue our reading of the Passion story from Luke 23. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they had asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know those pictures that are really like two pictures in one? If you look at them one way, you see two faces staring at each other. But then if you look at it another way, you see the cup in the middle. There are a bunch of different ones of those. Most of them, if you look long enough or have someone explain it to you, you can see both of the images. But there are people I've known who can only see one image or the other, and it doesn't matter how you sketch it out for them. And I've never really had a good explanation for the difference in perception. I think Pilate in the Gospels is a bit like one of those pictures. In one view, a very pragmatic view, it's hard not to feel sorry for the guy. He has a firm grasp of what is going on before him. He knows that Jesus is innocent. He knows that the only reason Jesus has been brought to him is envy and fear. Envy of the fame that Jesus now has with the people. Fear of what he might use that fame for. He also knows that there isn't much to fear from the man. Luke first plays it out with Herod attempting diplomatic maneuvers. "Oh, he's a Galilean. Send him to Herod." But Herod is just as much of a fox and passes the monkey back up the ladder. "Thank you, Pilate. I always wanted to see this wonder worker, but he was arrested in Jerusalem. Not my jurisdiction." Then Luke plays Pilate as the no-nonsense Roman. "Look, I didn't find this man guilty. Neither did Herod. He does not deserve death. I'll punish him and release him." As we say today, the process is the punishment. He's been beat and humiliated. I'll whip him a little more, and this Jesus will slink off. But the temple establishment won't have it. "Give us Barabbas," they say. "Give us the insurrectionist and the murderer." And Pilate is cornered. He's used every trick he knows. He's down to consequential actions. And so he says to the crowd, I will release him. But the crowd, I think what we'd call a rent-a-mob today, an astroturf, takes it up a pitch and demands that Jesus be crucified. And it takes someone really strong to stand up in front of a mob and tell them that they are wrong. Someone who's willing to risk being run over by the mob. And Pilate tried, but their voices prevailed. But then there's this other view. Pilate is the living embodiment of Roman law. This is the best that mankind had produced up until that point. You could still argue it might be the best law ever produced. And Pilate was sworn to uphold that. The entire basis of the empire was that people wanted Roman law. And he was honor-bound to rule correctly. And he knew that Jesus was innocent, so he should release Jesus. The fact that he considers beating an innocent man is the first crack in his armor. If you'll beat an innocent man to make it all go away, you'll probably crucify him too. And as the hymn says, the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Two completely different views of the man. Now, it's amazing to me how over the course of one lifetime, how much things can actually change. If you had asked 12-year-old Mark, he'd been pretty sure that American jurisprudence would never cave to Pilate's level. But the U.S. was a nation of laws. The last 5 years have been pretty rough on that view. And maybe it was always so. Law can always be a nice cover for the machinations of power. And power can always be reduced to the mob. Now, the mob can't really rule long term, but mob voices can on any given day. Maybe you still have a bit more faith in our institutions, and my point here isn't to disabuse you of that. I actually envy you still. But my point is to nod toward our true hope. Jesus in Luke says nothing after telling the chief priests what they wanted to hear. They asked him, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he replies, "You say that I am." And they say, "What further proof do we need to hear?" And from then on, Jesus goes silent. Pilate argues for him. Herod, in his actions, argues for him. The law argues for Jesus. But Jesus himself is silent. Because Jesus' hope is not in the best that we humans can offer. Jesus is not despairing because Roman law is failing. Silence can often be despair, but that's not what we see here. Jesus knows that his fate is in his Father's hands. His fate is handed over to the justice of the Father. and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Our justification is not done by any testimony that we bring about ourselves. Our justification is not done by our works. It's not done by the law. Our justification comes from the Lord. The Lord who is great in his steadfast love towards us. Even when steeples are falling, or institutions, or pictures that we once saw so clearly suddenly shift to another one, our case is not entrusted to them. Because we too can have Jesus's quiet confidence that all things are working for the good of the people of God, that our case rests with the Father, who has already justified us through his Son. Amen.